वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 79, Text 33. Idrik Vidhani Ashankhyani Balasya Balashalina Anantasya Premeyasya Maya मृतस्य संतिहे। इद्रिग्विधानि असंख्यानि बालस्य बालशालिना अनंतस्य प्रेममेयस्य मायामृतस्य संतिहे। इद्रिक विधानि असंख्यानि बालस्य बालशालिना अनंतस्य प्रेमयस्य मायामर्थस्य शान्तिहे। इद्रिक विधानि असंख्यानि बालस्य बालशालिना अनंतस्य प्रेमयस्य मायामर्थस्य शान्तिहे। मतजीस इद्रिक विधानी ऑफ दिस सॉर्ट असंख्यानी अनकाउंटेबल बालस्य ऑफ लॉर्ड बलराम बालशालिना माइटी अनंतस्य अनलिमिटेड अपरमेयस्य इमेजरेबल माया by his illusory energy. Martasya, who appears as if a mortal. Shanti, there are. He, indeed. Translation. Countless other such pastimes were performed by mighty Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose mystic Yogamaya power makes him appear to be a human being. Text 34. All the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dusk, at dawn and dusk, will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus his life will become successful in all respects. Thus ends the purport of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 79th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Lord Balaram Goes on Pilgrimage. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. With the blessings of Jayadeswami Maharaj, I endeavor to speak today on this wonderful last two verses of this chapter entitled Lord Balaram Goes on Pilgrimage. Today is of course a very very auspicious day. It's a holy day and a holiday for in many parts of India, including this state of Maharashtra. It is the new year, and very very interesting if you go back to the roots of these festivals, which are in plenty in India. You see the roots are always the festivals which are connected to Krishna or Vishnu or His energies. So the whole purpose of these festivals, the whole purpose of celebrations was to bring individuals and communities together spiritually, culturally and socially. So today is again one of those festivals which is known as in Maharashtra, Gudi Padwa. I don't come from that, so I don't know much details about this festival, but it is a very auspicious time. It is one of the, it's the beginning of the new month of one of Chaitra. It's the first day of the Chaitra month. And also a time for many parts of harvesting, is a celebration. So what we see here is very interesting, the aspect of every single reason to celebrate. And why do people celebrate? Why were they celebrating? Why were there these festivals? The purpose of these festivals was to bring people together. The aspect of camaraderie, the aspect of togetherness. So that when they come together and they celebrate, there is obviously spiritual upliftment, enlightenment. But not only spiritual upliftment, enlightenment, but there was a lot of strong cultural and social component to it also. So how it was a very holistic living, when I say holistic, it means H-O-L and W-H-O, holistic and holistic living that our culture had, and which has unfortunately become very, very fragmented. Every day was a day to take blessings of the parents in our culture. But now the culture has boiled down to only one day, which is called the Father's Day, or one day which is called the Mother's Day. At least on this day you go and take blessings of a mother. But that's not the culture that the culture of the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture means every day is a day to take blessings of the mother, to take the blessings of the guru, take the blessings. In Guru Purnima, people become very, 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 very emotional about their guru. But we sing Guru Puja every day. It is not just, so I think the whole idea of this festival is very, very holy. And if we try to understand it, it is all grounded on this aspect of bringing people together and celebrating. And that is what Srila Prabhupada gave us in our own ISKCON society. So many festivals to celebrate. And every small reason to celebrate a festival. And that's how, it became a very, very festival society. A lot of festivals celebrated in our society. And that's what brings people together. So today, we will also be discussing about this wonderful pilgrimage of Lord Balramji. Lord Balram, as we know, a brief background, Balramji, the story is long, but he, with his Kushagras, he killed Ramaharshana Suta. He felt there was a reason to do that, but he said, I need to atone for this. So the sages told him that you need to atone by going all over places for pilgrimage, taking bath in various holy places. And that's how we see Lord Balramji in this whole chapter has been described about the various holy places that he went. And then, countless other such pastimes were performed by mighty Balram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose mystic Yogamaya power makes him appear as a human being. So, then the author, the speaker, Sutta Goswami, is ending here, saying that, so many such pastimes are performed, and then comes the last very important part, the last verse that we are going to take today. All the activities of the unlimited Lord Balram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Person of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. So this is a very, very important part of our Krishna consciousness. Why do we do what we do? So many activities that we all are doing every minute, and as devotees, every minute we are trying to be engaged in devotional service. Not only for this one day, but maybe for years. Many of the devotees are doing for decades. So much activities have been done. But what is the purpose of all these activities? That we could have so many answers. But if you see, what is mentioned here is very, very, very important, and one of the main purposes, in one sense, the only purpose, is to make you should become dear to Krishna. That by all our activities, we want to be dear to Krishna. It is said that by doing this, we'll become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Are we not doing everything that we are doing to become dear to the Lord? Right? So the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is that somehow or the other, all the nine processes that Prahlad Maharaj has given, all the vidhis and nishedhas, all the do's and don'ts that Rupa Goswami has given, the 32 do's and 32 don'ts, the 64 activities. So these activities, externally speaking, they look like watering the Tulsi Maharani or staying in a holy dham or maybe reading Bhagavatam. These are activities. But if you see, Srila Prabhupada was very, very intelligent, and he put a lot of thought in naming this society, which of course we are celebrating the 50th year of the incorporation of this society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada was very clear in giving the society the name, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, even though there are so many activities which are happening to serve Krishna. He didn't name the society the International Society for Krishna Activities. Because what he wanted to convey to us, his activities are important, but activities become important, they have meaning to the extent we have the right consciousness in doing those activities. So it is not a activity-based society, it is a consciousness-based society that Prabhupada gave us. And what is the consciousness that we do, that we are doing what we are doing? Chanting, I mean, in right from morning, if you just see what are the activities that we all have performed. All of us have taken bath, all of us have done whatever it takes to fall in the morning, in a purificatory process. Come for Mangala Arati, many of the brahmacharis, we chanted our rounds. You know, we have darshan of the deities, we dance in the kirtan. Some of the, you know, people are making wicks, people are hearing Bhagavatam, people are making flower garlands. You can see right now, there are more than 24 activities going on parallelly right now. People are doing 24 activities, people are cooking down. So many things are happening. Why are we doing what we are doing? And throughout the day, if you just have some time, you can just note down sometimes how many activities we perform supposedly for Krishna. Because we are devotees, we are supposed to perform for Krishna. So many activities. But why are we doing all these activities? What is the purpose of these activities? What is the sloka from Rupa Goswami? First chapter, second chapter, Vishvatrava, that always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is Sa Eva Kinkara. All of the principles are servant to this principle. There are so many principles that we have. What is that verse, by the way? Somebody? So, Smartavyama Satadam Vishnu Vishnu Matam Jatu Sit Sarve Vidyatm. Yes. Ete Eva Kinkara. So, there's so many things that we have, but he stresses these two very important phrases. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. It is like saying, you do this and you don't do this. That means you are making sure that you just do this. Because if you do this, you can do so many other things also. But if you say that you don't do this and don't do this. Then you know that you are going to do just one thing. So Rupa Goswami is very clear when he says these two statements. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And all of the principles, all of the things that we are talking about is simply servant to this master principle that Rupa Goswami speaks in this beautiful verse, which appears in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the purpose of what we are doing, we all should remember that it is to remember Krishna Anusmrita. It is in this verse we have written, Yo Anusmrita Ramasya. It is said that all the activities of the unlimited Lord Ram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers, so important, Anusmrita, who remembers. So the point that we are going to discuss today is the aspect of remembrance. And by remembrance, what happens? We become dear to the Lord. We become dear to the Lord. The problem is, there's the nature of material energy. Many, many years back, I'm talking about 1987-88, I met one senior devotee from the Bhaktivedanta Institute, and I was just a new devotee that time. So it was in 1986 or 87, there was this World Conference for Synthesis of Science and Religion. It was organized at that time by Bhaktivedan Institute, and I was, I mean, my brother Dwarkadesh Prabhu was very actively involved, and I was also helping. I was 86, so I mean, I was just 14 years old, 14, 15 years old. I was trying to help in whatever way. I remember still people like George Wald, a Nobel laureate, Weizenbaum, another very computer science, all these top people were coming for this. So I was speaking to this this devotee from BI, and I was saying that what exactly is this idea of synthesis of science and religion? How does a devotee look at this synthesis? So I said, I'll give you a serious answer later on, but I'm giving you an immediate answer. What comes to my mind? I said, devotees have learned to chant mechanically. I said, what do you mean? I said, this is synthesis of science and religion. Chanting is religion, but mechanical chanting is synthesis of science. So the point he was trying to drive to me is that as we do our activities on an ongoing basis, there is all possibility that those activities will become very, very mechanical, very, very, monotonous, without any feelings. And the aspect of consciousness goes away, because if you want to add your consciousness to the activity, you need to be conscious of that activity of Krishna. But I'm sure all of us, you know, how the mind just, and how the mind just takes you off, and you are right there, everything is the same, but the mind is somewhere else. And this is happens with the mind, but when you do the chanting, when you do everything that we do on a regular basis, and this is what sadhana bhakti, vidhi bhakti is all about. Vidhi bhakti means to doing the same thing every day. Vidhi. Vidhi means doing the same thing. Right? We are not doing raga bhakti. We are not doing spontaneous bhakti. We are doing vidhi bhakti. Vidhi bhakti means to do the same thing. That means getting up in the morning is not that, you know, we sing different mangala aartis every day. It's not that, oh, today let us sing this, let us sing that. There is a standard. There is a fixed Mangala Arati, Gurvastak prayers. There is a fixed Narsingha prayers. And for years that you are a devotee and for years that you will remain a devotee, you will simply attend Mangala Arati and the same song is going to be sung. There is never going to be a change. Right? But the problem is doing the same thing on a regular basis, or rather every day or every makes things monotonous, makes things very, 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 very mundane. And the aspect of consciousness goes away. So we forget the purpose of why we are doing what we are doing. Just imagine, you know, if we are going in a train, it's a normal thing in Bombay. Everybody travels by trains, and we just get so engrossed. You know, in many people they play cards or play some games and everything. If they become so engrossed in those activities in the train, and you ask them, my dear friend, where are you getting down? Oh, where am I getting down? Oh, I forgot. Oh, I don't know, because I'm just so engrossed in my activities in the train, I forgot. But the fact is, you got in the train to get down at some place, isn't it? The reason you are in the train is to go from one spot to other spot. And while you are going from one spot to other spot, you are utilizing that time to do some activity. But you just get so caught up in that activity that you forget why you got in the train, and you forget where you want to get down. What is the whole purpose of the train journey? And that's exactly what happens in many of our lives. We get in to spiritual life, we get in the train of spiritual life, and we get trained to really achieve. There is a clear destination that we want to reach. We want to be pure devotees of the Lord. We want to get rid of all the unearthers, and as we say, to go back to Godhead. We all want to go to that destination, to be again unalloyed servants of the Lord. And that's the purpose, that's the destination. But while we are doing that, in the beginning we are very conscious. We see every station. Oh, how many stations more? 17 stations more. Okay, I'll keep a track of it. Then 16 stations more. I need to get down. But we become callous traveler. I say, well, I let me see what's happening. And then, oh, this is card playing is very nice. Let me play some cards. And then you get too engrossed. That's what happens in Krishna consciousness. In the beginning we are very conscious. That yes, I need to be very intense in my sadhana. I need to be, whatever I am doing, even if I am cleaning the pot or I am selling a book. The purpose of selling this book is not to sell the book. But purpose of selling this book is I will become dear to Srila Prabhupada by doing this. And if I become dear to Srila Prabhupada, obviously 100% I'll become dear to Krishna. Because I want to please Prabhupada. I want to please Krishna. And that's the purpose of what I do, and that's the purpose of why I do what I do. But then as we go further in Krishna consciousness, if we are not very conscious, if we don't keep that consciousness in mind, then what happens? That we will forget the purpose of why we started Krishna consciousness. And become very, very mechanical, unfortunately. So that is why we need to be constantly remembering the purpose of whatever activities we are doing. There's one story with that I heard many years back by one of the devotees. He was saying that there was one sadhu, and he was extremely renounced, completely detached. He was such a sadhu that he would not even wear clothes. And he would just not even meet any people, because he said, I don't want to meet any people, I don't want to talk to anybody, I want to just be engaged in my bhajan. And he was staying outside a particular village, on the outside of the village. And the villagers were naturally very, very devoted people, and they felt that it was such a fortune, and it is actually a fortune to have a sadhu staying around you. So they would get food, and they would keep food at one place, and he would at the particular time take the food away and eat whatever little he could eat. And they would not even meet him, and he would not meet anybody. He was such a renounced sadhu. Nobody saw him. But there was a custom in that village that once in a year, all the villagers would gather around his hermitage, his hut, and they would glorify him. Oh, that we are so fortunate that you are here. And he would allow that once in a year only. Otherwise, for 364 days, he was completely not even meeting anybody, not detached, not talking to anybody, not even knowing. People don't even know what he was doing. So once in a day, once in a year, he would allow this activity of people coming to meet him. So one year, that day was coming closer. It was a fixed day, one of the days of the year. The day was coming closer, and then that day came, and the sadhu was becoming ready, that, oh, now people will come, and, this one day, I have to allow them to do what they want to do and talk about me or whatever. So he was waiting. So usually they would come in the morning. So he waited 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. So nobody came. So he became very anxious. So he climbed the nearby tree to see. I said, what happened? Nobody came. So he could see some distance. I said, maybe they are late, something wrong with the village, something went wrong with the people. He started thinking. He was so caught up in that thoughts of why people didn't come. So he climbed higher and higher and higher in the tree. Because that thought was overwhelming him, that once in a year I meet them, why they didn't come this year. And as the story goes, he went to the highest part of the tree. It was a very weak branch. He fell from the branch, fell down and died. Now it is a very simple story, but it is a very deep lesson that I thought we can learn from this. That he was a detached sadhu, but he was, in due course, he became attached to that one day of meeting people. He was very conscious of that aspect. He was detached. 364 days he was not attached, people were not attached to meeting him. But one day, and when that thing didn't happen, he forgot his bhajan. And became anxious of why I'm not getting that one day of a year which people, and in due course he became attached to it. So similarly, it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that while we are doing our bhajana kriya, which is nothing but watering this bhakti lata beej, he very nicely explains that this beej is going to sprout in a beautiful bhakti lata, a creeper. But there will also be very powerful weeds which will grow. I'm sure all of us know this, and I'm sure all of us are experiencing this. The weeds that grow. And the weeds that grow in the form of the subtle, as we have heard, in subtle form, in the form of labh, puja and pratishtha. This sadhu, little did he know, but how there was a trick. played by his mind and by the external energy, that this lab, puja and pratishtha, he became attached to that one day in a year, and he just gave up his practice for that one day, and he ended in a very, very unfortunate situation. That is what happens with many of us. If we are not conscious of the fact that I need to be dear to Krishna, and I need to be always anusmrit, I need to be always thinking of Krishna, remembering Krishna. How does one become dear to Krishna? Who is dear to Krishna? The easiest way to become dear to Krishna is to become dear to somebody who is dear to Krishna. Very simple. If somebody is dear to Krishna, then you automatically become dear to him, that person, then you become dear to Krishna. Because Krishna says that sadhunam hridayam mayam. So many places he says this, that the sadhus are my life and soul. So when you become dear to the sadhus, you become dear to Krishna. So it is something which is very, very important for all of us to understand. And this last verse is giving us a reminder. Srimad Bhagavatam is always reminding us. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatir uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Srimad Bhagavatam is again and again reinforcing this aspect which has been spoken in the first few verses of Bhagavatam, and which it continues to do this. What it does is nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. It destroys all the anarthas, all the abhadras thing that start coming in your heart. And the fact is, Krishna consciousness process is like a process. Process means there is a main product and there is a byproduct. In any experiment, you have a main product and you obviously have a byproduct. And usually what happens, the byproduct is some gas, and you make arrangements that the gas just goes out and we don't even bother about that gas. Or some precipitate, and we just throw that precipitate out. Right? So we don't really bother with the byproduct, we are attached to the main product. But the easiest way of the external energy Maya is to make us attached to doing something with the byproduct and forget the main product, because it is also coming out. And the byproduct of bhakti is lab, puja and pratishtha. The byproduct of, not of bhakti actually, but of executing bhakti without proper understanding of being Krishna conscious. The byproduct does happen that you get respected. I remember many years, I was at one place and I was hearing one of the classes, and he said, the speaker was telling all the people, he said, think of a time when somebody offered you obeisances the first time in your life. Somebody bent down and offered obeisances. What did you feel? Maybe you can think in your own minds. Oh, that means I am worthy of somebody's obeisances now. I mean, and if you're not rightly situated, then you may just say, well, this is something which is first time happening. That means something is good. Not everything is bad. As we always say that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, it's a normal observation for a devotee, a new devotee, everybody is a pure devotee. And he's the most fallen. You say, oh Prabhuji, he's a pure devotee. He's a pure devotee. Oh, see how he's standing, he's a pure devotee. So if you think of the time where you were a new devotee, how many times you use the word pure devotee for some other devotees? Because you saw everybody so wonderful. But as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, you realize that, well, I am fallen, no doubt. But not everybody is a pure devotee after all. You know, I saw something wrong happening. This guy sleeps in chanting, this guy is eating up his words, this person is eating too much, this person is secretly stealing sweets from the pujari department. All these things are not signs of a pure devotee. So not everybody is a pure devotee after all. And then as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, if you are not conscious about your fallen condition and you are not really conscious about, you are not really humble enough, you don't take shelter of the principle of humility, then you will slowly feel that, you know, people are really not so great, and I'm not that bad after all. And because, you know, just yesterday I gave class and somebody said that Prabhu, Krishna spoke through you. And how can Krishna speak through any ordinary person? If you are not conscious of the fact that people are naturally encouraging you, but you are simply a transparent via media, and all the mercy is coming from the sadhu in your life. your guru and your param guru, Srila Prabhupada. So if we don't, if we are not conscious of that, again the part comes which is the importance of being conscious. But we become very unconscious about our fallen condition, and that's where the whole problem starts. And that's where this creeper of labha, puja and pratishtha starts, and it is so very subtle. It's so very subtle. And that's when, slowly if you analyze your life, you will see that remembrance of Krishna, being dear to Krishna, is no more the purpose of your devotional service. When I heard this, actually it was a reminder for me. I said, oh my God, that means the purpose of Krishna consciousness is actually to be dear to Krishna. How? At least I forgot this whole idea of being dear to Krishna. You just get so caught up into the activities of Krishna consciousness. You get up, you chant your rounds, you don't even have time to figure out why you are doing all the activities that you are doing. And you have to remind each other that, my dear friend, the reason why you are doing it is to become dear to Krishna and not for your own pleasure. And if you realize that you are just doing it for Krishna's, to be dear to Krishna, then you are not attached to the activity. If somebody says that just do it this way and not this way, because if you do it this way, Krishna will be more pleased. Just imagine the situation of Prithu Maharaj. He performed the 99 yagyas. It takes hard effort to make 99 yagyas. And then Indra became what he became. And then Vishnu, he became very, very, very jittery. And Vishnu told Prithu Maharaj that, just forget the 900 yagya. Don't do it. Now Prithu Maharaj didn't say, Hare Prabhu, 99 yagya, only one is remaining. Let me finish. But Prithu Maharaj, even after 99 yagyas, he was very conscious of the fact that, I did all these yagyas just to please Vishnu. And by not doing the yagya, if I can please Vishnu, why should I do the yagya? Such a wonderful consciousness, isn't it? So much efforts and so much misunderstandings and so much fighting can be sorted out if we are simply conscious of the fact that we are doing whatever we are doing just to please Krishna and Guru and to become dear to Krishna. But the snare of Maya, you know, it is not that easy, isn't it? We do it, and then as we are doing it, we become damn attached to it. We become extremely attached to that activity, and we said, well, this is the only way we should do it. But if the authorities are saying, no, this is not the way, just forget it, this is not the way you should do it. But you are attached, and there's fighting, there's misunderstanding. Why is this? The attachment comes because we are not attached to pleasing Krishna, but we are attached to doing things our way. Because over the years, we realize that I know how to please Krishna. Why should I hear from anybody else how to please Krishna? Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So we always, whether it is 5 years of Krishna consciousness, it is 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, that we are in Krishna consciousness, if we are constantly, that's why Bhagavatam is again and again and again, in this last verse, Phalastuti, is saying that, well, if you do this, you remember this pastime of Balramji, morning and evening, what will happen? It is not saying that you will become a great leader. He's not saying you become a sannyasi. He's simply saying, you by doing this, what is the first stuti? What is the expectation that we have? You will become dear to Lord Vishnu. And my dear friends, that is the purpose of life. To become dear to Vishnu. To become dear to Krishna. And we so many times forget it. So the best service that we can render is to always remember Krishna, to never forget Krishna, to do those activities which help us remember Krishna, and by our own personal example, help others remember Krishna. Many, many years back, I went to one of the, you know, telecom company's outlet, and you know, they had a new system that time. Not anymore now, but there was every employee of that, in that outlet, was wearing a badge. I said, please tell me if I'm not smiling. They were wearing a badge. So if the customer can tell the employee, you are not smiling, you are grumpy. So it was open tag. So which was the whole idea was to make a good customer experience, and they had to wear it. So please tell me if I am not smiling. So they had to wear this. So similarly, a devotee should maybe not necessarily wear a tag, but should be thinking that please tell me if I am not making you remember Krishna. If by my activities I am making you forget Krishna, I am making you, that's the worst disservice we are doing. Right? So the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is very simple. But obviously there is management required in an organization. There is so much intelligence that goes into management, but this management and all the thinking that goes, all the administration that comes with growth, if you forget the basic principle of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna and to become dear to Krishna, then the whole purpose of the whole management, whole organization is simply defeated. So let us be very conscious of this fact, and I would like to share with you a beautiful, I mean, I was just reading this story a few days back. This great devotee from the Sri Sampradaya, Khuresh. I mean, we all know this name. Khuresh, the very name shows that he was actually the king of a province of Khura. He was is a multi-billionaire in today's standard, extremely rich. He was a king. And he was so charitably disposed, he was so charitable oriented, that from morning till night, he would give in charity to people whatever they wanted. Can you imagine the amount of wealth he must be having? From morning to night, anybody could approach him and his wife. And he would give anything that they wanted. All you want, that's the type of wealth Khuresh had. I mean, unthinkable. Just imagine if something like this even happens for 10 minutes. Somebody just opens up their house for 10 minutes. Finished. And this great devotee of the Lord, Khuresh, he every day, that was his only work, to give in charity. He and his wife with four hands, two each, would just give in charity. And then in the end, in the middle of the night, they would just close the door of the house. And the door makes a sound. So after years, in the temple, the pujari, the Lakshmi Devi in the temple, I said that, what is this sound that I hear every day of this big sound? I said, that's the door closing of the house of Khuresh. Because he's closing his house, and then he'll start his charity business next day morning. I said, whole day he gives charity. So Lakshmi said that get him to meet me. Lakshmi Devi herself said, get him to meet me, I want to meet Khuresh. So can you imagine, by all the devotional service that we all are doing, and you get the news in the night that tomorrow morning Radharani on the altar wants to meet you. For all the hard work, for all the books that you distributed, Radharani wants to meet you. What do you feel? At last, the fruit of my devotion. And if you're humble, then at least you'll feel that in a very silent way, I'll definitely want to meet Radharani. She wants to meet me. And if you're a little proud of, they say, well, let the world know now what a wonderful person I am. And when Radharani meets me, the whole world will know. So Khuresh didn't go to meet. He told his wife, I said, Lakshmi is going to meet, and what are we doing? We are giving charity something most ordinary. This ordinary material wealth is what we are giving in charity. I don't even have a right face to meet Lakshmi Devi. We should give up all this wealth right now and go to the jungles and go to the house of our guru's ashram and settle down there. Overnight, Khuresh and his wife, from multi-billionaires, they became paupers without having a penny in their pocket. They just gave up everything. They didn't go to meet Lakshmi Devi. They were in the jungle and they were going to the guru's ashram on the way. The first night, can you imagine this lady, Andal, his wife, was used to the most aristocratic living. She was a queen. And in the jungle, there were all sorts of animals, all sorts of sounds coming. In the thick of the jungle, in the dead of the night, she was scared. So,
Quraysh said, are you carrying something with you? Do you have something? I said, no, I've given up everything. You told me to give up everything. I've not given, I don't have anything. Then again, as she was saying, husband, I'm very scared. You know, I'm very scared. I said, are you carrying something with you? Then she removed, I said, I have this small silver glass. I just got it to serve you water in this. I don't have anything except for this silver glass. I said, throw it in the deepest part of the jungle right now. And just depend on Krishna and nothing else. If you depend on Krishna, there is no way you can be scared of anything in life. Till the time you are even attached, dependent on this one silver pot, there's some attachment, you will be afraid. And she threw it. And all fear was gone. Of course, this is very, very superlative dependency on Krishna. Very superlative example of dependency on Krishna. But what are we learning from this? Now we understand that he was not wanting to do anything which will take him away from his attachment to Krishna, his dependency on Krishna. So we also all have our silver pots that we attach to in our lives. We all have that silver pots, and that silver attachment, the silver pots, does not allow us to completely depend on Krishna the way Bhagavatam wants us. So with the power of the Sangam of devotees, it's a lofty principle, no doubt. It's something very, very lofty, very, very high. But together we can do it. Alone if you do it. If you think you can do it on your own, then you're on your own. No, there's no help. But if you are completely dependent on people's help, then you're not only on your own, I mean you're not only having your own strength, but you have the strength of the whole community to support you. So that is the whole idea of Krishna consciousness. To do activities in such a way that you always remember the aspect of remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, and being very, very dear to Krishna. And what Krishna hates is, one of the things that he hates is duplicity. What is simplicity? Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explained. Simplicity, he said, simply it means no duplicity. He didn't say simplicity means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Simplicity means, you know, simple clothes, simple this, simple that. He just said simplicity simply means no duplicity. And duplicity means what? Trying to show what you are not. Trying to be attached to something which does not belong to you. That's duplicity. And that's what happens in our journey back to Godhead. We get caught up in the activities while we are in the train of the journey of Krishna consciousness. Let us maybe do the activities because we need to be busy while we are in the train, but always focused on church gate. Or rather the temple gate, not church gate. The temple, the divine temple of the spiritual world. Let us never forget that. The divine church, the divine temple that we all want to go. Let our journey not get caught up in Bandra, and we will jump into that Bandra ka khadi. It might end up in that. We are just caught up. Even if we have started this journey, but we will not reach the destination. So please let us always remember this. It's a simple principle. All of us have heard it so many times. But at least I felt that I had seriously forgotten this whole principle. And I thought we should share this, because it came so wonderful in this purport. Simple two instructions. This chapter is ending with these two simple instructions. And after describing Lord Balaram's pilgrimage, this Bhagavatam is telling us these two simple principles. You simply remember these wonderful pastimes of Balaramji, what will happen? Anusmrita, that means you remember these pastimes of Balaramji, of Krishna, of Vishnu. What will happen? You will become dear to Krishna. And we all should never forget, we all want to be dear to Krishna. We all want to be dear to Srila Prabhupada. We all want to be dear to our spiritual masters. We all want to be dear to the Vaishnavas. And whatever it takes to be dear, we should do that. And whatever it takes that people go away from us, we should avoid that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki?